What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
Good morning, Joe.
It's not morning, sir.
Oh, it's 2 p.m. This day is going by very fast.
It feels like the morning. My head's not on. All right, I'm awake now.
You're awake now.
Yeah.
So who do we have on the show today?
We have me.
Today I'm interviewing Joe Fear.
Oh, it's just the two of us. Just
making castles in the sky.
Yeah.
We've never made that joke before.
We haven't. I'm surprised.
Actually, I'm pretty sure we have.
We probably have. I'm sure someone will correct us. We need like one of those Conan O'Brien fact checks at the end.
I know.
Armchair expert.
Yeah, armchair expert.
That's what it is. Yeah. Not Conan.
Yes. I was thinking about doing that. In fact, when we did we recorded a few episodes last week on our batch recording day.
Yes.
We have had botched recording days, but no, yes, last week usually was a batch recording day.
Usually the botched recordings, we just put them out there anyway and say, screw it.
That's true. But we had our batch recording day, and there was like a few things mentioned throughout the day that thought crossed my mind that I was like, we should really have like a little fact check section at the end of the episode. Because we had one guest on that mentioned like, yeah, Reddit is like the number 7th most downloaded or most visited site on the internet or something like that, right? And I actually was like, I'm curious about this. So I actually went and looked it up and, you know, based on what data you pull from, it ranked anywhere from like 7th to like 15th most visited website on the internet. Yeah. I was like, it would be kind of cool to have like a little like at the end, here's some of the stuff we mentioned but might have gotten wrong and then shared the facts. But
could come in handy.
It could. I don't think we're going to do it.
I don't think we need that extra right now. Effort. And let's be honest, if we're close enough, it's probably good enough for everybody.
Well, part of why we do podcasting, and this is going to actually be what we talk about today, part of why we do podcasting is we've got this system dialed in that is just like so simple and so duplicatable, and we work on our podcast 2 days a month. I can't really say we don't think about our podcast more than 2 days a month. I think we think about it and try to grow
pretty
it
often.
And try to, you know, promote it and stuff like that pretty much every single day. But as far as the actual technical doing of the podcast, it's only 2 days a month focused.
Yeah.
And
that is what we're going to talk about today.
And if we did the fact check thing, which I do think is a cool concept, that actually just adds complication to our system, which is why you're probably not going to see it, at least not for a while.
Unless someone just wants to do that on our behalf and send it our way, then we're more than happy than include that in our companions or something like that.
Yeah.
Or in the probably not in the recordings, but... All right, moving on.
We could make little mini Hustle and Flow shorts where we're like, hey, fact checking some of our episodes.
And that's a good little time for a shout out too, by the way, because we haven't really been talking about that Hustle and Flow shorts show too often. We have like a total spinoff short mini clip version of this longer form show. So Hustle and Flow Chart is basically chopped into like these bite-sized chunks that you can find at a whole separate podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever the hell you're at, called Hustle and Flow Shorts.
Yep. And actually, hustleandflowshorts.com is a thing now.
Oh, is it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So if you go to hustleandflowshorts.com, here, I'll actually, my computer's
as his computer just went to sleep.
I didn't time that well. But Hustle and Flow Shorts, it's like, the thing that I like about Hustle and Flow Shorts is, you get like little bite-sized chunks of our show, right? They're like 10 to 15 minute clips for those who just won't listen to the longer form episodes. But what I also really like about it is that it kind of goes back into our archives from time to time and pulls out stuff that is like really killer content and still very, very relevant. But because it was like an older episode, some of our newer audience members may not have heard some of this stuff yet.
True.
Like, I really, really like some of the stuff that we talked with like Billie Jean about, for instance. But I feel like we kind of had Billie Jean on in an early portion of our show before we had as many listeners as we do now. And that show and some of his like amazing content got buried. And I could say that for so many other people like David Allen and Mike Michalowicz and some of these other like guys that just
everybody
had phenomenal content early on. Yeah, anybody we had up at like prior to, you know, 6 months ago or something, the episodes start to get kind of buried and you're really only paying attention to the newer stuff. And that Hustle and Flow Shorts show helps us like bring stuff back to the surface that may have actually gotten, you know, lost a little bit in all the mix of things.
True dat. So yeah, that show is amazing. And we're going to talk about why or how we... Maybe we'll touch on how we do that one, but Yeah, the show is like a standalone show. It's actually run by Steven on our team. So we're actually not even involved in it. It's like basically a content repurposing play. Mm-hmm. But obviously that came from our work here on this show, which mm-hmm. we were going to talk about. Well, okay, so the reason we're going to focus on podcasting today, you hear us mention it pretty often, but in about, what, July, we don't have mm-hmm. a date yet, but in July we're going to have a virtual summit around podcasting, but mainly on some interesting ways on how to grow podcasting or grow your podcast, or even if you want to leverage podcasting, it'd be good to learn about. You know, if mm-hmm. you just want to go on other people's shows or however you want to deal with podcasting in your business and life. But also how to make money with podcasting in interesting ways and mm-hmm. not the standard, you know, I need to have sponsorship approach. There's yeah. so many ways. And I think that's like a big mission of yours and I is that like, let's smash this whole concept that you need to have a crap ton of listeners to actually make money with your podcast.
Yeah.
'Cause that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, we're the working title of the summit is the Pod Hacker Summit, mm-hmm. just because we're going to be talking about these like unconventional things like you were talking about. But yeah, I think that is the big thing. I think so many people avoid podcasts because A, they think they're too complex, too complicated to run. Like I mentioned, we focus on actually running the podcast 2 days a month. Mm-hmm. That's it. And those are just us recording. We'll get into some of our systems around it a little bit. In fact, one of our first podcasts ever, like episode one or two, was actually about our system for yeah. podcasting. But that was 2.5 years ago now, so some things have evolved a little bit, so we thought it was a good time for
still batching then though.
We're still batching it yeah. yeah I mean some of the systems have changed, some of them are still the same, so we'll talk about that and how things have evolved a little bit. But I think most people, they think podcasts are really hard to run, they're really time consuming, it's something that they have to like put a lot of focus on
and you can't make money with them.
And I think people think they're hard to monetize. Yeah. We thought they were hard to monetize. We've had multiple podcasts before this one that we never quite got that element dialed in, never mm-hmm. totally figure that out. And I think those are really two roadblocks that people have.
Yeah.
And then from the opposite perspective, being on podcasts, once you hear some of the stuff we're going to talk about around podcasting, like you're going to see how powerful it is to actually be a guest on a lot of podcasts as well.
Because yeah.
on both ends, whether you're interested in starting a podcast or whether you're just interested in being on more podcasts, it is a growing
it's a hugely growing medium. Yeah.
So I think that's probably a good place to start on our little like podcasting rabbit hole here. Yeah. Let's talk about some of like the crazy shit that's been happening in the podcasting world and some of the data and some of the stats and some of the stuff that like, so you and I, we're very immersed in the podcasting world, right? We're in like Reddit following like all the latest on mm-hmm. podcasting. We're subscribed to a newsletter called podnews.net. If you're interested in podcasting, definitely recommend subscribing to that.
Daily email.
It's a daily email that kind of gives you news that's going on in the podcasting world.
Chartable gives you good info too.
Mm-hmm.
They have an email, but they also have a good blog with a lot of content on there with the latest stats and trends. They're a lot more data driven.
Yeah.
Which yeah. is really cool.
But between these resources, like we're very, very in the loop. I'm kind of making the point that you don't necessarily have to be like super in the loop on everything that's going on in podcasting. We're just super in the loop on everything, which seeing all the data and information that's flowing our way every day around podcasting, we just get more and more and more bullish like every right. single time we talk about podcasting. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to like, let's chat about some of that shit that we're seeing right now in the podcasting world.
It's also selfishly, we're this is a preparation, not like this is a presentation, but in a few days, we're actually going to Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive. Mm-hmm.
Rolling down Rodeo with the shotgun. No.
yeah, Roland Frazier invited us to speak at War Room on this exact topic.
Yeah.
And how we basically have kind of taken a completely different approach from typical podcasters, and he kind of dubbed us podcast marketers. Mm-hmm. that's how he was getting introducing us to folks that way, and that got us to think, we're like, yeah, this is a totally different perspective and way of approaching this medium of podcasting, because you could definitely go about it all different ways, but this is our method.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working out all right, and it's highly leveraged.
Yeah,
profitable.
So some of the things that have been kind of like writing on the wall, in my opinion, I'm not going to get into numbers yet, but like one of the like sort of like events that have been sort of milestones in the podcasting world,
mm-hmm.
not too long ago, they started kind of making jokes on like Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. about podcasters. They did like a mock podcast award ceremony where they like awarded people from like the show Serial and stuff, and they made fun of podcasting. There was a show called Alex Inc., which I think only made it one season, but it was based on the... maybe like a year ago, year and a half ago. And it was based on the podcast startup by Gimlet Media, which we'll talk more about Gimlet in a minute mm-hmm. here. But so there was actually a TV show around a guy who was trying to get like a podcast company off the ground. And that kind of was a little bit more of a catalyst to make it more mainstream. I think the original thing that sort of made podcasting really mainstream was the Serial podcast by Gimlet.
That was a huge part, yeah.
I feel like when that podcast came out, so many people went, ooh, this is really interesting. And people started to mm-hmm. learn about like, oh, you can binge podcasts like you binge Netflix.
That seemed like the catalyst for this most recent boom of podcasts. Because podcasts have definitely had like these spikes in the past, but nothing to this extent where it's now taking up... You know, now there's like listenership is going crazy and exploding. There was some stat that said like it's going to increase 4 times the amount of listeners within, I think it was within a year or a year or two, mm-hmm. which is crazy if you think about it. Yeah. And yes, there's a crap ton of shows. I read some stat that there's 700,000 podcasts right now.
Yeah.
But still, if you compare that to like blogs,
there's something like only 5% of them actively add new content frequently.
And they all pod fade, which is basically a dead show after a while.
Yeah, most of them can't seem to keep up with it. Right. Or they just do one season. I always think saying, oh, this is season one is a bit of a cop out because I think that's people's way of basically saying my podcast faded, but I want to bring it back around. So now I'm calling it season two.
Well, partially in this this episode, ideally, we'll give you some ideas on how to not pod fade. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into super deep details of how exactly, you know, walk step by step. You can kind of refer to that previous episode, actually.
Yeah.
This batching is a huge part of it. Just scheduling your time and then with your guest time.
Yeah. And then so recently also Spotify mm-hmm. has been making some major, major waves in the podcasting world. So Spotify, maybe 2 months ago, six mm-hmm. weeks ago, mm-hmm. 2 months ago, they acquired Anchor and they acquired Gimlet, which mm-hmm. is actually the company that made Startup, which that TV show Alex Inc. was on. And I don't know, I don't think it's been disclosed how much they invested in each, but it was something around $300 million for the both of them.
Right.
And if you're not familiar with Anchor, Anchor is like a real simple podcasting platform. It's like a web-based podcast platform. You go to like your Anchor FM account, you create an account just like you would like a Facebook account or something, and then there's like a record button and you can just record audio and then your podcast goes out to the world. It's just like a super, super low-hanging fruit way to like create podcasts online. And then Gimlet Media was a podcast production company that had like really high quality, really like well published and produced podcasts, mm-hmm. Like that Startup show.
And they're still around. They just now got acquired by Spotify.
They're just owned by Spotify now. Yeah. And so, you know, what we're seeing kind of happen is that Spotify is they're kind of trying to seemingly take like a bit of a almost like a YouTube meets Netflix model. Like YouTube is really easy for creators to get content online that anybody can see. Well, Anchor is that same thing, like in the audio world. Mm-hmm. Anchor makes content really easy to get online. And then YouTube has this YouTube Red, which is like their premium monthly membership where you get exclusive content from YouTube and they remove the ads. Mm. Well, that's Spotify's model already, right? Is they have premium monthly membership that removes the ads and then they have some Spotify exclusives. Yep. So they're trying to push the podcasting world into that place. And then they also just acquired
Did one more for, I think, another $100 million. So I think total, I don't know what it was. I think it's another production thing.
Yeah, they were called
Trying to own network.
It started with a P.
They're basically, it seems like they're trying to own networks and owning the assets, but also owning the process, the production. It's mm-hmm. from start to finish, if you think about it. And it's super kind of like Netflix, if you compare that, or even Amazon with how they're doing these like Amazon and Netflix exclusives. That's kind of what Spotify is doing, except for, you know, I think the majority of the shows are still distributing them everywhere. Yeah. They just happen to really own the asset and probably all the monetization, everything that happens in there.
Yeah.
And so. I believe they said Spotify claimed that they're going to invest up to $500 million within this year in the podcasting space. That's true.
They've already invested most of that.
Yeah. I think they're at $400 right now. But still, that just shows you the amount of money that's getting thrown around.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Spotify, if you're listening, we will take that last $100 million off your hands if you need us to.
You know, we're a production house. We have content like crazy. Got great networks of people around us. And I'm sure we can wrap up some other shows within this podcast network if we wanted to. We can roll this thing up for you if you like. All right. Thank you, Spotify.
But, you know, just seeing like what Spotify is doing, and like this is like a unicorn Silicon Valley kind of company going and taking all of this investment capital and buying up other podcasting companies. And that's sort of a sign on the wall that they're very, very bullish about it. And then right around the same time that this stuff happened, iTunes was actually sort of frozen for a while, mm-hmm. right? You'd log into iTunes and they had like a section called New and Noteworthy, and that section was frozen for like a year, probably even longer than a year, where you logged in and like the New and Noteworthy shows, some of them were shows that had like 7 episodes that were a year old and they hadn't made anything new or noteworthy in the last year, but they were still sitting in New and Noteworthy. And
it's basically you're saying that Apple just took their foot off the gas 100% with podcasting.
And then
it was frustrating as hell as a show owner too.
Yeah.
You're trying to get in this spot and you're like doing everything you can, because we've been in there before with a previous show. But this time it was like impossible, because the entire length of our current show up until like literally the last month or two, that thing's been freaking frozen as a rock for like 2 years.
Yeah. And then just right around that, within like a week of Spotify acquiring Anchor and Gimlet, all of a sudden the New and Noteworthy started popping new shows up in there, and they started actually like updating the iTunes like interface with new shows. My understanding was there was actually a like a literal person who was moderating what was going in New and Noteworthy. That seems like a lot of effort to me. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's something
you think
I heard.
That Apple would be smarter than that. Like, but let's automate this with an algorithm.
Supposedly they had somebody actually moderating the New and Noteworthy shows, but I don't know if that was true. But all I did notice was that as soon as the Spotify, Anchor, Gimlet like sort of acquisition happened,
the oh shit factor popped up in Apple's brains.
Yeah, iTunes went, oh, maybe podcasting is something we should pay attention to again. And then just recently, this is something I read in Pod News, is they just actually hired a new like head of podcasting at iTunes. So they actually have like a person in charge who used to work for some sort of podcasting media company, a Gimlet type company.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, I can't remember the name of the company. They actually hired somebody from one of these media companies to come in and actually like head up the podcasting area of Apple. So now Apple's starting to take notice. So if anybody's wondering, why do we talk about podcasting so much? Why do these guys have such a hard on for podcasting? It's because of all this shit that we see happening. We're like, what the fuck? Like, Spotify is investing tons of money in these companies, and Apple is all of a sudden turning their attention to these companies and doing a bunch of shit. And Conan O'Brien now has a podcast, and Saturday Night Live is talking about it, and there's TV shows about podcasting.
Well,
and
the Nielsen, whatever, the rating system from the radio station is now talking about moving over with... which is super ironic, because they're, like we were talking about earlier,
archaic,
it's a very archaic way of, you know, just gauging stats and listenership. Yeah. And now they're applying it here. It's like, dude, we got a technology that ideally it should be trackable, and it kind of is, kind of isn't. But let's be honest, the technology is very archaic in the podcasting space. And there are some gaps right now to make advertising and this whole thing not a traditional thing like radio is, which is what Nielsen is kind of managing or heading up, you know. But it is a sign of the times, though, seeing that they're moving over, because they could see their listenership moving away from radio, even moving away from probably things like Sirius XM and all that stuff to podcasts that are free,
which is a joke,
and you can access it anytime you want.
Yeah. Such a joke that like Nielsen is like getting involved in podcasting.
It's well, let's be honest. I think monetization as a whole in podcasting is kind of a joke.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because like most people don't know about it, but it's all based off of cost per thousand.
Yeah.
So it's per thousand listeners for each episode. You get paid as a podcaster $20 to $30 per thousand listens per episode.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even just like the concept of like the Nielsen like rating system, right? Like the Nielsen rating system, they basically they tried to figure out what shows and what like radio shows and things like that were popular by like getting a small sample, like a subset of like the population. So they would have like Nielsen families where there was like 1,000 Nielsen families, and they would pay attention to what those people watched. And then they would say, okay, this small sampling of people watch this. That must be what is popular among the larger population. And it was just like taking samples. But with podcasting, I can literally get in and see what the most popular podcasts are. I can literally get in and see which the most downloaded episodes are. I can, like, the data is there. Why do we even need a fucking Nielsen in the mix?
Yeah. And see, this just shows how archaic, again, podcasting is, because everything's so splintered and fragmented. There's no good way to track. You can track in our host, and this is where it goes into like sponsorship, is that it's kind of a trust system. Because, and we haven't taken on an official sponsorship, but this is what we've heard. And, you know, we've talked to some different agencies, but it's essentially, it's like, okay, how many downloads do you get? Mm-hmm. Show me a screenshot.
Yeah.
Really? That's it?
That's literally how they do the sponsorship ads, is like they ask you how many downloads you get, and they ask you to screenshot it. Some ask you to screenshot it. Not all of them even ask you to screenshot it.
So it's like it's a total trust system. And obviously, yes, you want to do well for any advertiser that you have on your show, any offer, even if we're doing like affiliate offers or our own offer. We're only going to do things that really work out, and we're going to continue with the ones that do work out.
Yep.
So you want to ideally, you know, treat your advertisers right, because they are the ones paying for you.
Yeah.
Are paying you. But at the end of the day, it just seems like this is such a, it's an uphill battle for any new podcasters, or probably 80 to 90% of podcasters as a whole, to make and to ever make any money off of podcasting. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's not the approach we take. That's what fires us up. It's like our quote unquote enemy, I guess, you know, when it comes to podcasting. Like, the enemy is kind of this traditional way of making money, the traditional way of treating podcasting. And a lot of people will take it as a, use it as an artist approach, which is cool. That's fine. If you're not looking to actually back this out, make it a part of your business or make money from it somehow, or directly or indirectly. There's so many ways you can leverage podcasting if you kind of think out of the box and start applying some direct marketing strategies to it. We apply everything that we talk about in this podcast to our podcast in some way. Mm-hmm. Even direct mail, we're talking about direct mail and podcasting. Like, huh?
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is what lights us up about podcasting. It's not saying you got to do everything, but we choose to approach it with this different way because of the momentum that's growing, because of the gaps that are out there. And we're realizing, like when we went to PodFest in Orlando, we're just talking about how, hey, instead of traditional advertising, you can actually do, affiliate links and partnerships and do some shout outs that way on your show, instead of waiting for you to get thousands of downloads per month.
Yeah. Well, when you have a podcast, even if you have like one episode of your podcast you just started, like, I've heard a lot of advice and wisdom from people about like, oh, you shouldn't go get sponsors on your podcast until you're getting 20,000 downloads a month. Mm-hmm. And some people even said, don't get sponsors until you have 20,000 downloads an episode.
You know, freaking
what a
load
of shit.
It's a load of shit. And you know how hard it is to get that many people on your show? Like, without you pod fading?
Yeah.
Because you got
to
think, like,
you're trying to get to that kind of download numbers for
sure.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have the system in place, like for us, we batch record and we make sure that we are not the bottleneck. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the number one thing, the approach we took from the very beginning of the show. So in that whatever number episodes, maybe it was the second episode or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was one of the first three. I don't remember which one.
Like, that hasn't really changed much at all. Maybe slight tweaks here and there, but
well, yeah, it went from 1 day a month to 2 days a month. That changed.
That's the only difference, really. Yeah. Yeah, because we upped the amount of times that our episodes get released.
Yeah.
Based off of demand, and because the systems allowed us to record more, because we're like, it doesn't affect us.
But going back to like the statement about like, even with your first episode, like, why, like, don't even think about getting sponsors. Okay, yeah, you're probably not going to get any sponsor to have any interest in you, but what's to say you can't pick an affiliate product, mention that affiliate product? This episode's on the internet forever, theoretically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could be potentially making sales off that affiliate product that you mentioned 10 years from now. Yeah. Why would you not like pre-monetize that episode? I don't understand the thinking behind it. Like,
it's traditional thinking. That's
you
got to
figure, like, if I have a podcast, and which I do, if
newsflash,
if it became a really, really popular podcast, don't you think some people are going to go back to episode one and go, I wonder how this started. I wonder how they sounded the first time away. I wonder if like they had the same confidence in their voice the first time. I wonder if their interview questions were as good on the early episodes. I want, like, people go back because they want to see that journey. People will go back and listen to episode one. Mm-hmm. We're 2.5 years in now. We still get downloads on episode one every single month.
Sure.
So why the hell would we have, like, you know, why not monetize that? Why not mention an affiliate product on it? Why not, like, you know, what might even be interesting for sponsors is sponsors could go around and for super, 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 super cheap,
leverage
go and buy
shows
up like brand new shows that have no following yet with the idea that a percentage of them will be big. Right. Think about like the startup world, the whole like philosophy behind investors and like angel investors and venture capitalists in the startup world is they're going for volume, right? They might go and invest in 20 different companies at any given time, knowing that maybe one or two of them might be unicorns and make up for all of the losses on all the other companies, right? It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
Like that could be a philosophy for sponsors. Go and find the really, really, really early shows that are like, I have no idea how to monetize this, and offer to pay them like, hey, you know, I'll pay you $50 to mention our product on your first episode, right? Yep. Do that for 100 podcasts. You end up paying, what is that, $5,000 or something?
Yeah.
But you're on a 100 podcasts and, you know, maybe 10% of those podcasts go on forever and build a huge audience. You never know.
It's a long-term approach, but yeah, it's like, shoot, if you got the money, if you have a brand out there and like maybe a niche that's not too expensive to advertise, maybe it's not the marketing niche, but you know, you go to horses. You know, we heard that there's a horse network that's like super popular. I think we met someone at PodFest or heard someone speak that was a nurse. And she was an older gal, which is super cool because she had her systems dialed in. She had batching recording, all that stuff. And I think it was just her. And she was getting something like 30,000 listens a month.
Yeah.
And we're like, damn, go like in the nurse, some like abstract nurse niche.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just nurses broad. It was like a very specific type of nurses. But like, think about if you had a brand in that space and you saw someone like that, like, dude, how more targeted could you be? And if you get in there early, it's probably super cheap too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, lots of ways to make money with this bad boy.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to make money. And I would think, like, if you're someone who thinks you're going to eventually monetize your podcast, just start doing it from day one. Yeah. Maybe sponsorship isn't the route from day one. You're probably going to have a hard time getting sponsors, but you can always use this concept that we've always talked about called mock sponsorships, where we just find an affiliate link and we mention them as if they were our sponsor, right? Like we've done that with Gen M on several
episodes.
You
don't even need to call them a sponsor. You can just say like, hey, we really like this thing.
Yeah. No, like, it's the same thing. Yeah, you don't have to say we're sponsored by. Just say you could say we're supported by. You know, because that's the same. It's true. It's the same thing. Look, we're supported by Gen M. If you go and sign up, we get a little kickback. They're supporting us. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily a sponsor. We never signed a sponsorship agreement, but they don't need to. If you go and use Gen M through our link, which is evergreenprofits.com/GenM, we do get a little kickback from them. It's not huge, but it's a little kickback that for them saying thank you for sending us a new customer their way. You can do that on episode one of your podcast, even if you only have 6 downloaders and 2 of them are your parents.
Downloaders. Yeah, it's true. So getting into, I would say, because we have this whole thing, like we actually made a like little chart for this presentation we're going to do, but it's a comparison chart to like typical podcasters to us. Mm-hmm. Us and the way that we approach it, and like batching's huge. Mm-hmm. The way that you just mentioned there is mock sponsorships is huge. Mm-hmm. And just that alone should give people ahas that you don't have to take this traditional approach. You being a marketer, listener, business owner, like you probably think like, oh, that's a good idea. But when we took that to like the podcaster space and people who don't really think that way, and like, hey, you can insert your own thing, you can have control, their minds were blown.
Yeah.
Which just shows you how like the podcasting space, there's a lot of growth to be had right now in there. So if I don't know, being a marketer there and looking for gaps, like you listening, I mean, there's no way we can fill all these gaps, but there's a lot of opportunity in the podcasting space right now.
Yeah. I mean, we were actually just here's another shout out. Both you and I just listened to a book on Audible called How to Be a Capitalist Without Any Capital by Nathan Lotka. Great, great book. Highly recommended. Oh shit, I just totally lost my train of thought. He had some great concepts around podcasting.
Well, he had
that
a concept
book.
Of bringing on, because he has a daily show called The Top, And it's a daily show that he talks to business owners and he brings on CEOs onto his podcast. And he follows up with each one of his CEOs to basically thank them. It's all that stuff. We do the same thing. But he pitches them every single time on becoming a sponsor. And there's actually a script in the book. I don't know off the top of my head, but he's like, hey, have you ever thought about or experimented with podcast sponsorship? I got like a cool little package if you want to give it a shot. Very light email. But he sends it out 30 times a month because he has 30 people on his show. And he said it's always filled.
Yeah.
You know, and I think his conversion rate's pretty good too, because people are like, oh yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And we've even thrown that idea out because we haven't done it yet, but you can create a package that's unique. It doesn't have to just be your show. Like in our case, we have a platform. We have that. We have email lists. We have direct mail. We have, you know, our blog, banners, all sorts of different things, videos, stuff on Facebook, Google Ads. You can build that into this kind of sponsorship advertising package and then put a price on there.
Yeah.
And when you make it something different, now you're not stuck on that CPM thing. You kind of create your own little beast, and obviously there's more advantage if you're doing stuff that's a little bit more direct response. You know, when you take it to our blog, email, ads, then you can kind of start tracking conversions and all this cool shit where can't do on a podcast unless you have some link, you know.
There's something else that is really cool that he's doing, and I was gonna bring it up and then it just like popped out of my head. Right,
I was guessing that was it. But.
Yeah, no, that is something that he's doing that's really smart. He's bringing on CEOs and basically trying to convert them into sponsors after the show.
He's also doing Patreon stuff. I don't know if that's what you're gonna like, premium content and.
Yeah, he's doing.
I'm trying to jog your memory right now, so I don't know.
It'll come back to me. We could just keep on going, and if it pops up again, then I'll bring it up again. But it's a great book. He talks a lot about like various podcast strategies in there. He leads his business. The content aspect of his business is all podcasting, just like it is for us. So that's he's got some really, really interesting concepts.
He actually
in there.
Spun off a whole different company, remember? Based off of the stuff that he was getting stats or something from these guests, and he actually made like some separate website from the data that he mined from his podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. Basically, like what you just said, everything starts at the top with this podcast. No pun intended for the top podcast.
His podcast is called The Top.
But the idea, and just like us, it's our content creator. Yeah. Like from that top thing, we happen to just repurpose our content in all different ways, including a whole separate show.
Yeah.
And he happens to do it in the forms of gathering sponsorships, Patreon, creating a whole different website that I think is a continuity website. So that now he has recurring revenue based off of everything that the podcast brought into him. And his network has probably expanded like a madman.
Yeah. And he's leveraged his podcast to invest in other companies and to, you know, find people that have invested and bought some like companies off of him. And just like he's used it as that insane network tool. Too, and we may have already touched on what I was thinking of. I don't know, like it's lost now, but but there's so many different ways to monetize a podcast, and one of the ways that we're actually talking about doing it through like direct mail is, you know, one thing that nobody was doing when we were at PodFest is nobody was actually using podcast to try to grow an email list. Right.
Yeah.
It seemed like pretty interesting.
It was like foreign to them when we were talking about this. We're like, how is this a foreign thing?
Yeah.
Follow ups.
So we had this idea of every time we do a podcast episode, let's have one of our team members take notes on it. And then we'll use that as our opt-in. Anybody who listens to this show can then go to our website and opt in. And basically, if you're out driving or whatever right now, you don't have to be sitting there taking notes. You can just go download our notes later. And so we started doing that, and it just made our list growth explode. We've started growing our list really, really fast on the back of that. So one of the ways we're actually thinking about experimenting with direct mail as another monetization strategy, and we'd love your feedback if you're listening. Send us an email over at info@evergreenprofits and let us know what you think of this idea. But those actual notes that our team member Steven is taking, we're actually thinking about selling print version of those notes, where every month you get like a little digest in the mail at home with all the notes from the prior month. So you don't have to keep re-opting in for the notes. You just kind of get them delivered, and they're kind of top of mind all the time. One of the things we're thinking about doing is actually selling those notes for a very, very low ticket price. And that's just another monetization path that we might travel down.
Yeah. Yeah. And low ticket meaning like
$10 a
under
month.
$20. Yeah, yeah, $10 to $20 or so. Let us know if that's something that would be interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, send us an email, info@evergreenprofits.com, because we've been tossing around different ways that we can expand our just the content that's on here in these shows, because we have these notes, like you say, and these notes are like 2 to 3 pages long or so.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are like legit notes. So like, that's what we study.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a perfect distilling of everything we talk about with the resources and all these highlights that are noted in like kind of a procedure type format. So if you ever want to actually like put something in action, these are the things that you follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier than just you trying to write your own notes. It's like, just add to those notes if you need to.
Yeah.
But if we can figure out a way to make these things a little bit more accessible, because we're noticing people might get one and then that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, these things are gold. And we have, I think, close to 100 of them.
Yeah, I don't know how many we have. We're working through the backlogs. Like, all the newer episodes, like this episode, will have notes pretty close to the date that this is released. But all the backlogs, we're still working through a lot of the older notes.
There's a lot, man. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, we want to put some attention on these. And we want to do it in a way where it's easy for folks to actually see. Hence, we were thinking direct mail, because let's be honest, you're going to open it.
Yeah, you're going to open it and probably read them, or at least read some of them that like are really relevant to you.
Yeah, so let us know, unless you have another idea of a better way to make these things accessible and top of mind. But I think it's, well, at the end of the day, it's just going to help you further.
Yeah.
So the idea is to get this thing out to more folks to actually put in action.
Yeah. And then before we wrap up real quick, let's quickly rattle off some of the like growth strategies that we're experimenting with.
Unfortunately, I don't have my list in front of me, but we can rattle.
We'll rattle some off. I mean, part of the Pod Hacker Summit that we're going to be doing is sort of behind, outside the box sort of growth strategies.
Yeah. Not growth and monetization strategies.
Yeah, not your typical things that you hear of like, oh, get 7 episodes in the can before you launch and get into new and noteworthy, and then you'll get a spike and get all your friends and family to write a review. Like, all that stuff is not going to like move the needle that much in the grand scheme of things.
It'll help you for maybe like a couple days.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
So we've been experimenting with a ton of different strategies. Lately, the most recent paid strategies we're experimenting with are Reddit ads.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very new. We haven't really seen how they're panning out yet, but we're paying roughly, I think we're paying 49 cents a click right now, which isn't horrible. Like, that's probably what we'd pay for clicks on Facebook ads to something similar.
But you can get super targeted on Reddit and actually target subreddits.
Yeah.
So you know your target market's pretty damn interested.
Yeah, yeah.
We've already had a couple of buddies. Our buddy DK shouted out to me over the weekend. He's like, I love seeing your Reddit ad, because no one's doing Reddit ads.
Yeah, nobody's doing Reddit ads.
You should probably hop and test some stuff on there.
And we're still like very, very new. Like, we're just scratching the surface and experimenting.
But we've heard from other podcasting friends that Reddit has absolutely crushed it for them in the past as a growth lever that's pretty damn cheap.
Yeah.
So Reddit is a big one, or it's a new one, that is.
And then Facebook ads, what we're starting to do with Facebook ads, if you're following us, you're probably seeing these, is we have a lot of like little video clips from our podcast interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Perry Marshall on, and we actually did a video version of that show. We had Kurt Molly on. We had Paul Clifford on. We had Scott Carson on. There's all these different guys that we've had on that we decided, hey, let's just flip on the camera and record a video version of this interview.
Mm.
And then we've been taking little like 5-minute clips from those videos, putting them on Facebook ads, giving people little teasers into our episodes. So then ideally they're going to want to go listen to more of the episode by subscribing and downloading that show. So we're starting to experiment more with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that we've been doing a lot of experimenting with is actually advertising directly inside of podcasting apps.
Yes. So there's so many of them out there, and they all have their own way to monetize or to advertise.
Yep. Some of them even make you sign NDAs, so I can't even go too deep into how some of them work.
Yeah.
But you know, we've been experimenting with Overcast ads, and there's an app called Podcast Republic that we've experimented with buying ads on, and there's an app called Podcast Addict that we've been talking to about potentially advertising on their platform.
And there's a lot of ones just like that. And basically the way it works, and this is what we're realizing, is that each platform, so the platform that someone listens to the podcast on, there's a way usually to advertise in there. So. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all super segmented, so you got to like kind of pick and choose which one's going to be the best fit. Some are just on Android, some are just on iPhone. Again, this is where it gets confusing. But word of mouth, and you know, that's kind of how we go, is like, oh, our buddies from this show said they got good results. Okay, well, let's give it a shot. You mm-hmm. know, that's kind of what we've been doing and just experimenting.
Yeah, yeah.
Overcast did really well for a while, but got a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, their recently. Pricing has gone up because it's gotten so popular as an advertising platform.
Yeah.
And as far as like mass like subscribers, it wasn't super impactful. I
it wasn't
think every
mass,
time
no.
every time I think we run an ad, we'd probably get another 500 subscribers to the show or something.
Right.
And
which is great for the price we were paying.
Back when we started, we were paying $400 or $500. We were paying, you know, roughly a buck a subscriber.
Which is but a now, good target number.
Now, yeah, say. Now it's inflated to where you're paying like $1,200.
Yeah.
And we're still and you still get the same amount of subscribers. So now you're paying you went from like $1 subscriber to like $3 a subscriber, which that math doesn't
yeah.
work out for us quite as well.
Really quick. I wanted to touch on our show notes because this is a main way that we monetize.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're comparing our show to a lot of even business podcasts, which blow me away, please, if you have a business show, for the love of God, make good show notes pages and actually have lead captures, multiple options, referral link, whatever you got to do, pixels, all that fun stuff. We do it all there. Mm-hmm. So if you just go to our show notes page, you'll see this in action. But that is how that's like, instead of iTunes, a lot of podcasters will rely on iTunes for growth. Well, screw that. It's great. Yes, it's good for discoverability, but it's hard as hell mm-hmm. unless you have a crap ton of subscriber growth, because that's what really pushes you up the charts from everything that we've heard and seen.
Yeah. Reviews don't mean anything. Just
subscribers. Yeah. And the momentum of it all.
Yeah. A lot of people, but you hear a lot of people on their podcast at the end saying, hey, if you like this show, go review it on iTunes. Reviews do not help you with the algorithm. It's a social proof thing. But, you know, we were even talking to one of the guys that we work pretty close with Kurt Molly, and he mm-hmm. was basically arguing with us the other day that social proof actually does not really have that as big of an impact as you might think.
Right.
And so reviews on iTunes doesn't really help you get any.
I wouldn't worry about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you
obviously
want subscribers.
Have some, but they're going to come naturally. And I'd say, yeah, focus on subscribers first, and then you can always ask for. Yeah, go leave a review if you want, but don't expect that to climb the charts for you.
Yeah.
And so a lot of podcasters will rely on iTunes, and we deliberately, from day one of this podcast, we had the choice. We're like, okay, call to actions. Do we send them to iTunes or do we send them to our show notes page?
Mm-hmm.
And we thought about it. We're like, okay, on our show notes page, we have control for follow-up. Email at a very minimum. We can get them opted in for like a companion or a transcript. Mm-hmm. Those are the two like easy gimmies right there that mm-hmm. any podcaster can do, or cheat sheet, whatever you got to do,
mm-hmm.
something sexy there for the free opt-in, and then have your pixels. We have Facebook and Google at a minimum on the page so we can retarget folks depending on, you know, just them landing on the page. And then we have push crew on there, so browser notifications, affiliate links to make money directly that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all
and
of
then
these
we also have banners that lead them deeper banners. Into our content too. Like,
yeah,
one of the things we've recently been doing is we've been writing articles about affiliate products that we use ourselves and really like. And so I've actually been creating banners that when you click on those banners, they link to the articles about the affiliate products that we yeah. like. So you actually start getting into our little affiliate marketing rabbit hole by just viewing our show notes.
Yeah. I mean, if you just think about that, that was our thought pattern, is like, take them to show notes, not iTunes. But mm-hmm. if you go to, I guarantee you, the most of the podcast, if you listen, just look at your podcast player where you're listening to right now and check out some of these other shows and just go peruse their show notes page if they have one. Mm-hmm. I bet most of them will be like just the basic page that was given to them by the hosting provider.
Yeah.
Or something that just has like maybe a handful of bullet points and like the player.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, for the love of God, like everything we do, it like gets our episodes ranked mm-hmm. SEO.
Yeah.
What do you know? We have like a whole massive list of text there, plus the audio, sometimes even the transcription. We get ranked. Like, we can rank for most of the guests we come on that come on the show, even the big ones.
Yeah, for
sure. Big name ones. So it's, I don't know. It's very interesting, all these little levers that a lot of podcasters will ignore.
Yeah.
And then this is why, like, we have nowhere near the amount of listeners compared to some of the people we know, yet like we are able to back out much more revenue mm-hmm. because of that. And it's an interesting, because it's a systems thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
But saying that, every show that's out there that has a lot of listenership can change this for their own regard. And I think it starts, we were talking about it the other day, it's really just have a good way to grow a list.
Yeah.
Like, if you could just apply that to podcast and then follow up with whatever strategic offers, more content, and, you know, ways to purchase something. Or maybe it's just another way to have your sponsorship money go further. Maybe you can charge more, demand more for your show.
Well, right now, in emails. Right now, most people make about $30 per 1,000 downloads. So if you're making, if you have 10,000 downloads a month, you make what, $300 a month off a show that gets 10,000 downloads a month?
Yeah.
Right. So we've actually backed our own math out to where we make about $3.
Yeah.
We make about $3 per listener.
So exactly.
So
now we create a little calculator because we're like, we're just curious.
Yeah. So if you got 10,000 downloads per month, would you rather make $30 per thousand or $300 per month? Mm. Or would you rather make $3 per download, which checks out as $30,000? No, $3,000 a month. $30,000 a month. $30,000 a month versus what was, what did I say originally? 300?
300,000. Math is hard.
I don't know. It's either 300 or 3,000. I don't know. My brain is fried.
Either way, it's if you go the angle that we're trying to say here, you have exponential growth.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, it's simple math, really. Obviously, podcasting, there's a lot
Not for us today, apparently. But
yeah, well, simple math when you write it down.
Yeah.
And have a calculator in front of you.
It's all right, guys. You don't need to email us to tell us what number, what the actual number is. Just trust me. It's better to have $3 per download than $30 per 1,000 downloads.
It's just the math of thousands, basically. Yeah. So it's that whole traditional approach. I'd say that that is the thing that excites us the most out of this whole medium and the way that you can approach it. And anyone can do this. Like, it doesn't have to rely on you. That's another thing. Most podcasters think they have to do it all.
Yeah.
It's like, why in the, why would you think you should be recording and editing your own stuff? Yes, you're probably more than capable, but guess what? Someone on Fiverr is also extremely capable. How much is your time worth?
Yeah.
And just imagine all the other stuff that's involved at podcasting. There is the marketing of it, and it's all the stuff that a lot of people don't think about. When they say, hey, I think a podcast would be really cool. Hey, you should do a podcast, you know, because you hear that talk a lot more, at least we do.
Yeah.
And people don't see the bigger picture that will actually make the bigger moves. If you focus an ounce of that effort on follow up, you know, maybe talking to any of these guests for sponsorship opportunities or thinking of how you can do all this marketing here that we've been talking about. That's a better way to position yourself or use your time. That's where we spend our time.
Yeah. And then, so, okay. So we got to wrap up here, but the last little like point that I want to make before we go ahead and call it on this one is that when you have podcast listeners, they are the best possible lead that you could get in your business. Would you rather have somebody that maybe like Googled something, clicked over to your website, read it real quick, and then like disappeared? Or would you rather have somebody that literally just listen to you for an hour long, right? These are the most engaged, like possible people that you can talk to because
they're in your ear for like, for our case, it's almost an hour each time.
Usually, not this episode, but usually our episodes are over an hour or right around an hour, and you're getting people that are listening to you that feel like they know you, that feel like they have a relationship with you because they've listened to you so much. Yeah. Like the average consumption on like Facebook was what, 6% or something?
I read a stat, it was like Facebook video is only 6%.
Yeah, our low end, our like our shitty podcast that didn't do that well, our consumption is 60%.
And see, that was without us knowing what the hell we're doing, and it was probably kind of shittier audio quality than this. And yeah, on average, what we're looking at our show, and obviously there's valleys and peaks and all that stuff, but on average we sit around 70 to 80%,
something like that,
across the board, if you're saying. But what you were looking at, one episode that we had that was an hour and a half, and it was 99% consumption rate. We're like, holy crap.
So the people that started that episode listened to it for a full hour and a half. Now just think about like those people being your potential customers. Like when you get them on a sales call, if that's the business model you choose, like they've already listened to you for hours and hours and hours. They're already sold on your value. The selling becomes so much easier.
Everything does.
You know, if you're trying to sell somebody a course and send them to a sales page for, like, you know, let's say a $300 product, do you think it's easier to sell somebody who's listened to you for hours and hours on end and are already like privy to the, your value? Or do you think it's easier to sell somebody that came in off of Facebook ad that had never heard of you prior, right? This is why we're so bullish on podcasting and this is why we're so passionate about it. And this is why like we can literally make hour long episodes talking about why we're excited about podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely we get fired up about this. I think it's just like the potential that's there, and we're just like,
yeah.
How are you? Like, we just look at these shows or people that just run into a wall with podcasting, and obviously it's an opportunity for us, you know, because we're like, oh, okay, don't do that.
Yeah,
made. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of ways you can get creative with this whole thing too.
We'll save some of that stuff for the summit.
we won't get in depth now. We should probably wrap this one up. We've covered a lot already,
and we also have another call that we're already late for.
That's fine. We'll get to it. But yeah, it's hopefully you can see how. And this isn't, again, not all about you starting your own podcast, even though it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Because just of all these reasons and the engagement factor alone will allow you to just, even if you don't make a cent directly from the podcast, the fact that if you have this business with follow-up, consulting, coaching, even if it's something, it doesn't seem direct at all. Like, we have our buddy Chris Martinez is just starting a podcast. I think now, because he's probably hears us often on here, and he's going to see a direct in what he has. Each customer is worth thousands of dollars. I mean, how many customers do you need to have listening, or agency owners in his case, listening to your show to actually make a good return on your time on the podcast? And it could just be like a 20-30 minute episode.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be a big old hour thing. We just do this because we love freaking yakking, and I don't know, we just can't shut up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine just, even if you had just 100 subscribers, 100 people tuning into you every month, and you had a weekly show that was an hour long, that's 100 people listening to you for 4 hours a month.
I don't know where else you're going to get that.
You're not going to get that anywhere else. Now, those 100 people, when you need to get them on a call, you need to direct them to an affiliate product that you recommend. You need to sell them one of your own courses. You need to sell them on agency services. These people that are listening to you for 4 hours a month, potentially, even though it's only a small pool of 100 people, those are going to be the easiest people to convert into a sale that you've ever seen in your life, because these people know, like, and trust you because they've spent so much time with you. And I think if there's like any one concept that I can sort of drill into your head around podcasting, it would be that the value of somebody spending this much time with you.
Please don't drill into my head. That hurts.
Yeah, I'm just going to kick you in the head.
Damn you. Yeah. That's actually not as bad, though.
It's not, probably.
I'll take the kick rather than the drill.
No, all right, I'm going to go switch into my steel-toed boots, but we should probably wrap up.
Razors on those things are brutal. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Keep a lookout for in July. We don't have a date specifically announced yet, but it will tentatively be called the Pod Hacker Summit.
And we'll be making announcements to it a little bit prior to July.
Trust
up to
us. But you'll hear all about it. But this is something we're fired up about. And for the love of God, if you feel like you have some inkling or you think podcasting can help you at all, give it a shot. Reach out to us if you have any questions at all. No, we do not have a product or anything on that yet.
That'll basically be
the summit. Yeah. Yeah. It'll give you the perspective of not just us, but a whole ton of our peers who are doing amazing things in this space, because I feel like there's a movement happening right now, and it's like this uptick, but the general public hasn't noticed it yet. And just us being in the stats, seeing the investment money, seeing the growth of listeners moving from other mediums to here.
Although I do think the general public is catching on.
They're
more
starting
and more.
Our barber
today was literally started a conversation with me today about podcasts.
Our barber. I will see him tomorrow. I'll continue that conversation. Matt's all prime cut for this war room presentation. I'm like, look like a hairy beast.
Yeah.
Well, I always do.
Even when you cut your hair, you look like a hairy beast.
Let's be honest. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Check out, where should they go after this?
we have a little outro.
Oh, we have an outro. Right, see, that just shows you how much I even know our process. I'm like, how do we
go check out the companions for this episode if you didn't take notes on it or you want to get some more details about it.
Yeah, go to evergreenprofits.com, get that stuff.
Yep.
You dig.
That's
Thank you.
And now I'm going to go play our outro, which is going to tell you to do the same exact thing. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Before taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.